Avowed who followed the Skonic discipline had begun to splinter and fight immediately after the reconstitution, and to squabble over which sect had dibs on the name Skonics, Reformed Skonics, New Skonics, and so on. Eventually they had gone over to a numbering system. They were up into the low 20s now, so fives were pretty well established. "I don't think that the differences between the fives, the fours, and the sixes are germane here," she finally decided. She turned to look at me. "I just want to know how they smelled."
"Really?"
"Yeah. For example, you handled the parachute, right?"
"Yes."
"If you handled a big old parachute from a military depot on Arb, you'd be able to smell it. Maybe it would smell musty from being wadded up in a sack for a long time."
"If only I'd had the presence of mind to pay more attention to that," I said.
"It's all right," Sura Moroa said. She was a Theor, used to setbacks. "You were kind of busy. Nice job, by the way."
"Oh, thanks."
When the cool girl, Cord, yeah, activated the pressure equalization valves on the hatch, air moved
into the capsule, I said.
"So you didn't get to smell their atmosphere until after it had been mixed with ours, correct?"
"Damn. Maybe we should have waited," I said.
She aimed a sharp look at me.
"I don't recommend you go around saying things like that."
I was taken aback. She checked herself and went on in a lower voice. "This place is the world capital of know-it-alls. Everyone is jealous. Wishes they'd been there instead of you and a bunch of lineage weirdos. Thinks they could have done better."
"Okay, never mind," I said. "We had to do what we did because we knew the military was coming to screw it up even worse."
"That's more like it," she said. "Back to the olfactory now. Do you remember smelling anything at any time?"
"Yes, we talked about it."
"Not when that Ida had his spelecaptor on you, you didn't. Or before Saman arrived. The probe had just landed. Orlo smelled the plume from the engines. He wanted to know if they were using toxic propellants."
"Wise of him. Some of them are frightening," Moroa put in. "But we couldn't smell anything. Decided it was all steam, hydrogen, oxygen."
"That is still a negative result."
"But later, there was a definite odor inside the probe," I said. "I remember it now. Associated with the body, I assumed it was some kind of bodily fluid."
"Assumed because you didn't recognize the odor?" Sura Moroa asked, after she had thought about this for as long as she wanted to.
"It was totally new to me."
"So the geometer's organic molecules are capable of interacting chemically with our olfactory systems," she concluded.
"It's an interesting result. Theors have been breathing down my neck wanting me to answer it, because some of those reactions are quantum mechanical in nature."
"Our noses are quantum devices?"
"Yes,"
Moroa said, with a bright look that was close to a smile.
"Little known fact."
She stood up and fetched her helmet. "It's a useful result. We should be able to get a sample and expose it to olfactory tissue in a lab." She gave me the bright look again.
"Thank you."
And in a completely absurd departure ritual, she pulled her gloves on and lowered her helmet over her head, which I was sorry to see the last of.
"Wait," I said. "How could any of this be? How could the geometers be so like us, and yet made of different matter?"
"You'll have to ask a cosmographer," she said. "My specialty is cornering vermin and taking them apart."
"What does that make me?" I asked.
But she was too preoccupied getting her helmet on to catch the joke. She passed out into a kind of airlock that they had erected outside my front door. The door closed and locked, and the tape dispenser started making rude noises again. It got dark. I fretted over the contradiction. The geometers looked like us, but were made of matter so fundamentally different that Moroa had entertained the possibility that we wouldn't even be able to smell it. Some at the Convox were afraid of space germs. Moroa sure wasn't. My being stuck in this box was a byproduct of arguments that people were having in chalk halls a few hundred yards away. I should have paid better attention to Jessery's chit-chat about what a Convox was. Leo showed up late and made a hooting noise at the window. It was a fake bird call that we had used back at Edhar when we were out after curfew.
"I can't see you at all," I said.
"Just as well. Bumps and bruises, mostly."
"I've been working out with the Veilers?"
"That would be much safer. Now, I've been working out with people who are as clumsy as I am,
The ringing veil of out, watch and laugh. Well, I hope you're giving as good as you're getting.
That would be satisfying on one level, he allowed, but no way to shine in the eyes of my instructors.